Good evening, Perry. A fire? Own a motel? That's important here. And you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
It burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Necronomicast. My name is Wayne.
Zip.
Brian.
Hey, it's D-Bola in the house.
enjoying your what was that, pumpkin care cake?
I don't know. Your wife made it.
No, somebody else made it.
Did you buy it from someplace?
No,
it's a pumpkin.
Family came over. It's that time of year. It's pumpkin time.
Fantastic.
We have like 50 things. I think our uncle, who's quite a character, purchased all sorts of pumpkin stuff.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? Yes, it is.
It is.
So we've been watching a lot of horror movies, actually. It's that kind of time. Yeah. So we actually all did manage to go out. We talked about this before. We all managed to go out and see Annabelle.
Yes.
Just building up for a while. We finally saw that. So everybody here has seen it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that today on the show. A few more things that we're going to talk about. I think we're going to go. Was there any other movies that we all saw that were coming out that...
Yeah, like going back to our trailer show that we had a couple episodes ago. I went to my basement and I saw found footage werewolf movie.
Oh, that's right.
And I saw Willow Creek, the found footage Bobcat Goldthwait Bigfoot movie.
Right.
Both of which, Willow Creek I'd recommend as good, and Were I'd recommend as awesome. I really enjoyed Were.
So. Were is it? It's
not a pan.
How do you spell that?
Were, like werewolf.
So it's W-E. Is it Were then?
Were, I guess. But it's not Were, like weird. Underwear. Weird. Crappy title.
Yeah.
It needs like something over the vowel so you know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
In Coven, like an umlaut.
Umlaut.
Exactly.
It's like Coven. Coven, man.
Can you put
it's like
Coven. Over me?
Oh, my God.
Coven? It's like oven, man.
Right.
It's not going to work.
American movie. One of my faves.
Great.
But Were was good, and Willow Creek was dope. I liked them both.
Let's see Willow Creek.
If we want to expand on those later, we can.
Yeah, we should do a werewolf episode. Werewolf movies. Maybe we'll do that at some point. If you've got any listeners out there, if you guys have any subjects that you want us to talk about, please let us know on the show page. I've been trying to do some things on our Facebook page, kind of versus monsters versus monsters. Think who would win, which would be fun. We have show ideas for what is it, maniac. Tools of the maniac, killing weapons, like our favorites. We're going to do a show on that too, and we should do one on, you know, just on all the classic monsters.
Yes.
Not classic, but from classic on up. So, but today we're going to talk about Annabelle. So who wants to go first? We all
Make
have some
Doug
opinions
go first.
On it.
He's got the.
Yes.
His mouth's full.
He's got the opinion.
He's the one eating right now, so make him go first. We went and saw that together, so we went.
No, we didn't.
No, that was Tusk.
That was Tusk.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You didn't go?
This wasn't as good as Tusk.
No.
In my opinion.
Really? Yeah. All right, yeah, talk about it.
I didn't like it. It made a severe pant load for me. reasons why the two characters, there's only, what, four people in the whole movie. There's the couple, and then there two other people might be there, right? It's mostly that couple that whole time. Is my level okay?
Yeah.
The man and wife.
Man and wife.
Alfie Woodward and the priest. And
yeah, just generally it's those two, right? And I just found them dull as hell. At least when compared to The Conjuring, which might not be fair to do. But then you have the Warrens and the Conjuring.
Yeah, different actors.
You know, and way better actors. Not that these guys are bad or anything like that, but I didn't find them interesting to take me through the whole thing. And then it just seemed like there wasn't any, back to The Conjuring, there wasn't any of those subtle, slow build, creepy, any of that stuff. Unless you find just shots of the doll, something that would be like that to you. Which it wasn't to me, maybe in The Conjuring it was a little bit, but I was more used to it now or whatever. So it just seemed like there was like nothing happening, and then everything was happening. Like nothing's really happening. And I'm bored, and then the kitchen's a raging inferno,
right?
You know, or something like that. But there were two parts that I did think were cool, and that was the elevator scene where the elevator. That was when I first went, that's good.
Yeah, you know, that was fun.
Keeps opening
the seam in the basement, you know, yeah. That was good. And then the part where the doll, you know, appears to levitate. Mm-hmm. But then it's actually, you know, Mr. Jeepers Creepers back there, whatever, right. The black demon guy. That was pretty cool.
I want to see that again. I want to see that part again.
Yeah, so I can, that was a cool trick. I like that.
I didn't really look any. I must have looked away or something because I didn't really see the demon face.
I did.
I didn't know what it was. Lori's like, oh, that was
it
a cool
took
face.
A moment for me. We're going to talk a little bit too about how. That scene in particular was very similar to a scene in Insidious.
Right.
Which was directed by the producer of this movie, James Wan.
James Wan.
Mm-hmm. Wan. And so right away when we saw it in the theater, when that happened, I turned and looked at you guys and said, Insidious!
Yeah.
But in Insidious, it's real obvious because the guy is in front of a white wall, a light-colored mm-hmm. wall, and that demon's face, the half-face behind him is really obvious. But it wasn't as obvious in Annabelle. It was just like in the shadow, all of a sudden there's this, you make out this face if you were looking at it.
You think it's
right
levitating,
away.
The doll is actually levitating mm-hmm. until you realize that mm-hmm. it's being picked up. And it's really cool.
And it was interesting because throughout the whole movie, one thing you'll notice is that they never have the doll move on its own, which I thought was kind of a cool choice.
Thank you for bringing that
thank
up.
Thank God.
You because know? I didn't want it to be too animated, like too...
Right.
I'm turning my
like
head.
Like Chucky.
Yeah, right. You know, like some kind of animatronic, kind of Walt Disney created it kind of a thing.
Right.
It has more of its power. You can almost imagine the spirits circling around this inanimate object, you know, mm-hmm. that are just kind of inhabiting.
Which made it more realistic, I think, as far as that goes, because that's what they were saying before when they were talking to the Warrens, is that we'd leave the room, we'd come back, and it was in a different position, or it was mm-hmm. in a different room.
Arms were crossed or uncrossed.
So that's what everybody else was seeing was... what we experienced throughout the movie with this doll. Now, the thing is that the doll was just super fucked up looking anyway. I mean, it's a horrible
and got
doll.
More fucked up looking throughout the movie.
Yeah.
We got to see how it ended up as shitty looking as it did in The Conjuring.
Right.
Right, absolutely. And it's funny, in real life, if you go to the Warren's website, the Annabelle doll is actually a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
It's just which I have in my basement.
Do you have one? Really?
I have a Raggedy Ann and Annie doll, and who knows what they do down there.
Yeah. They're always in different positions.
Well, I noticed also in the last scene of Annabelle, when they show the mother of the girl buying Annabelle, the very opening scene when they show her in that store, on the shelf behind her is a Raggedy Ann doll.
Right. Funny.
Another note was clever. That when they... And I read this. You can find this on the IBM that thing. The nurse that was holding the baby when he came in. So she had that whole thing where she went into labor, went to the hospital. The husband comes back, and he's like, "What's up?" You know, and she's like, "Look behind you." And so he turns around, and the nurse has the baby. Mm-hmm. That nurse is the one that gets Annabelle.
Oh, is that right?
She's the one that is the same actress too in the beginning of The Conjuring, in the beginning of this movie. Where she's like, "Yeah, we're nurses, and my aunt got us this for because we like to help people, you know." And so
good eye.
You know, that kind of segues into something I wanted to touch on real quick is that James Wan is kind of making this little universe of pictures. Like, if you watch Insidious, there's the scene where Patrick Wilson is the teacher. You know, he's the husband. And he's working the long hours, avoiding going back home and whatnot, and he's kind of nodding off. And if you look at the chalkboard behind him, there's a drawing of Billy the Puppet from Saw, which is James Wan's first feature film that he made. And I don't know if there's anything from Insidious 2 that alludes to Saw. But James Wan kind of, he's kind of mixing in all these, kind of like a mythology to all these movies, which I thought was pretty cool. Is it my turn, Doug? Or you?
No,
I just jump in. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm listening. This is a really neat toy that you brought.
it's
his birthday present.
Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees action figure, which I can't wait
from the horror series.
He's gonna decapitate like Han Solo or someone.
Yeah. Three and 3/4 inch fully posable action figure, just like your penis.
Fully killer.
it's
opposable
with the kung fu grip
and 3 inches long.
My take on Annabelle was. It wasn't fully realized. Like, The Conjuring was made for about $20 million.
Mm.
And they spent a long time on it. Real good actors. there's continuity between these movies in terms of James Wan either producing or directing. Joseph Bashira did the music. Joseph Bashira, the composer, also was the demon with the red and black face in Insidious. Yeah. He was also Bathsheba, the witch, in Conjuring. There's like this continuity. And then the director of cinematography was John Leonetti. He's the guy that directed Annabelle. So it's like the studio tried to do the right thing since James Wan was busy with Fast and Furious 7. But I also think...
Hey, really? Or is that a joke?
No, he's making Fast and Furious 7. He's trying to get out of horror.
Oh, he...
Oh, really?
He's trying. I mean, he wants to make this giant block. I mean, the Fast and Furious movies are like $1 billion.
That is true.
You know.
Are they good, though?
Never watched one because nobody gets axed in the face in one.
So. I thought that might have been a joke.
So, yeah. So like they're trying to have this continuity, but I think Annabelle, man, they made it for $6.5 million. It's made about 170 so far, so it's a hit. But I just think Conjuring came out last summer, and all of a sudden this movie comes out in the fall. I think they were just like, make a movie, whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's some cash. You guys aren't working right now. James is gone. He'll come back in and make sure shit looks right. Make this movie. Do it. And it almost feels rushed. And it had a lot to do with, to me, there was just, you know, it kind of copied a lot of horror movies. I thought it was kind of...
Yeah.
And whoever's in the studio marketing departments that makes these trailers, Jesus God, don't show me everything.
That was the biggest problem I had.
The little kid running at the door turns into the scary demon. Yeah. Would have worked if I never saw it before,
right,
in the theater. But I was like, well, you know,
I would have scared the shit out of me. That would have scared the shit out of me.
It scared me in the trailer. I've been seeing that for months. The first time.
Like, good Lord. It would have freaked you out. They should have done what Paranormal Activity 3 did and made a completely fake trailer.
Bingo. And that was genius.
Paranormal Activity 3 had a trailer that didn't have anything in the trailer. It was completely fake. It had the same actors and different... It was like cut scenes that they never put in the
That's
movie.
That's cool.
And so you still wanted to go, and it still looked really incredibly scary. So you totally wanted to go. You won't see any of those scenes in the movie, and the movie was equally as scary. So that's what they should have done with this, I think, with Annabelle. They should have really kept it kind of close to the vest on the trailer, and they just blow it all when they do that.
Yeah, and why was it... Was it just the murder scene? Is that why it was rated R? I was watching this. Like, Insidious 1 and 2 is PG-13. And I'm not dissing PG-13 horror movies because I think they have their place and they can do things effectively. Conjuring obviously should have been R. But I was watching Annabelle and I was like, well, why is this R?
Maybe it's the doll's so fucked up and scary.
Maybe just because it's scary. But also,
there's no sex. There's no drugs. There's no swearing.
He stabs
the pregnant woman
in the belly.
Like Sharon Tate. There's that whole Manson family.
Well, that was a thing I thought was kind of weird. It's like she's watching the Manson family documentary show.
Yeah.
And then a satanic cult couple comes into the house or goes into the neighbor's house.
Because it was a daughter.
But they had to they had to preface it with the Manson family. Even though they weren't supposed to be part of the Mansons.
No.
But it's like, it's just like it.
Yeah.
You know, killers going into the house, you know, these people who are part of a cult going into a house and killing people.
Yeah, it was almost, it was a little lazy, I thought, and it was a little rushed.
Yeah.
They could have left all that out. I mean, they could have easily just even not correlated the, I mean, it was fine just correlating the daughter. They could have left any talk of that out as far as having the TV on with the Manson family. I mean, they didn't have to make it so brutally honest that,
To me, just that part was creepier than what actually happened.
True.
You know, because the atmosphere of someone on watching TV in the Mantis stuff was so much real, you know.
They could have had her sitting in bed reading Helter Skelter right before it happened, too.
Or something.
And that would have been a hell of a lot scarier than the rest of the movie.
Another buyout for me on this was the detective that would come back, and for some reason he brought the file, but then he didn't want her to look at it, and then he, left crime scene bloody in their house, bloody crime scene photos. He let her have them. That would have never happened, and there was no reason for her to have any other questions or whatnot. This was a victim; they were the victims, and that wouldn't have. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense. But unless she was really trying to investigate what happened, if there was any type of public access, they could have gotten those. But I don't think the inspector would have. But the whole symbol too, the symbol that was in there. Apparently, that's the crack in the Annabelle doll eye that you see.
Nice.
That's what Maggie says, my daughter. She was like, yeah, I think that the symbol is what's kind of the crack makes the symbol in the eye.
Where the blood went in, kind of?
No. Like on the if you see the the pictures for the movie, you know, the ones with the close up of the doll face, and it looks like it's cracked, then it's supposed to be the symbol.
Yeah, same symbol.
Same symbol. Yeah, which is, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm with Doug, though, on that. That couple, though, what did you think about the couple, Brian? I mean, they were just really, I thought, very stiff, very too typical 60s.
Yeah, and it also kind of went back to, like, when I say lazy filmmaking, it was like in Insidious, the husband, he's very preoccupied with his job, so he's gone. He leaves his wife alone in the haunted place. In Conjuring, he's a truck driver, so he's gone, leaves his wife alone in the haunted place. This guy is studying to be a doctor, is a doctor. He leaves his wife alone in the haunted place. Even when he's like, well, honey, go get the doll. You mean this thing that's been terrifying me for, you know, the last fucking whatever? Yeah, you boys sit in here. I'll go get the doll and make you some tea, too. It was very, you know, kind of 60s. I didn't like the character of the guy.
The guy in particular.
Annabelle Wallace, though, the chick was hot. So
yeah, chick was hot.
I'll forgive it.
Yeah, I was. I keep her. I'd find a stronger.
She was less stiff though than he was, and he was just, even that whole conversation between the neighbors at the beginning, the neighbors and those two when they were standing out there after church, was awkward.
Yeah,
it was just like, this is not how people would have talked,
right?
Even, you know,
right.
But even in the 70s,
even in the 60s,
they just didn't seem. It just seemed like the
after church though. It makes everybody a little bit,
you know, just this. It was almost a caricature.
You'd almost expect something.
It was, Well, I think they were, because it's a period piece technically. Yeah. So maybe they went too far in making people stiff or seemed,
or
old.
Is just not as good as an actor as, you know, Patrick Wilson from like The Conjuring, because that's who I ultimately compare it to.
Right.
You know? But you know, Alfred Woodward, she's a class act. She's great. I thought the Catholic priest was pretty good. I'm glad that they didn't go, you know, slumming on making him creepy or something like that. And he's pretty much didn't have much to do in the film. Except,
he was pretty creepy.
But wasn't now this is something I wanted to ask.
Not like pedophile creepy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like just old school church creepy.
Yeah, I went. That's all right. I went to the bathroom and then I came back and it was this, and I come back and he's outside the door going, "May God bless your soul," whatever. And then I don't think we ever saw him again. There was no resolution at all to his character.
He was in the hospital.
Harkening back to Conjuring with where the doll pounded, where they heard the pounding on the door in the middle of the night, and they go back and there's the doll.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened in the movie, I'm like, this is from the other movie.
Yeah.
You can't have this in here.
Right.
But then it was the priest. I'm like, why is this?
Because it was a demon.
Right.
Mm. It wasn't really the priest. It was just because he had his back to her and everything.
Last we saw the priest, I'm trying to remember.
He was in the hospital.
Yeah. I missed that.
Then they hugged him afterwards.
Just,
something happened at the end. They said, well, we haven't seen the doll in so many months.
Oh, they did see him at the end.
Yeah.
But I guess I wondered what happened to him right after that massive explosion of, you know, stuff. What happened to you that night? You know,
when he got thrown away. So he got thrown out of the church and got a concussion kind of thing and was bleeding. So he's in the hospital.
And the doll's gone.
I guess I must have been checked out enough. Yeah. You know that I just don't.
He never really comes back.
Oh.
It was Saturday afternoon, man.
Yeah. It was just, you know,
the priest that you see with his back to the door, and that was just a thing from the demon, because the demon was up on the ceiling and he drops down, kind of thing, and it was kind of freaky.
And did anyone else just totally predict, like, a few seconds before it happened, when the old lady was going to jump up in the window and then take...
I saw it coming, you know what I mean? Like, when she started, you know...
Not that that's a real bad thing, but I was like, I could see that she's going to jump up
there. The whole daughter being, you know, dead.
Because you were with this when we saw this, and when she picked out the baby, and she took the doll, and she started smacking the doll on the crib.
Yeah.
And then it would end up being the... And then she threw it, and it was like the baby.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was part of me was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But it's too awesome for this movie. I knew it was gonna turn around in some way. Yeah. It couldn't have been, because Lori looked and she goes like, oh fuck. That's awful. That's terrible. Yeah. She's holding it and going, oh, my baby. Like, she just crowned the baby, just took it and smacked it. So it wasn't really the doll.
Yeah.
Oh. That would have been an awesome way for the demon to take that soul, but man, no, he just was fucking with her.
Yeah.
But it was pretty shocking.
Yeah,
and see, like, they had little moments of really shocking.
Yeah, you know, and I like
scenes
this,
that
you know,
were cool.
And parts of it, I thought, you know, a lot of the staging and the filming and the effects, the elevator thing we talked about was cool. I thought the music was cool, and what I like throughout all these movies we've talked about is this guy's You know, Scott and I went to the UNL School of Music together, and I don't know if you ever partook in this, but one half of the School of Music on the upper floor were all the piano practice rooms were.
Yeah.
And so, and you don't have to admit to this. I mean, the statute of limitations are out, but like me and Andrew and all these other, you know, maybe you too, but we thought it would be really funny. You know, you hold down the sustain pedal and you pound on the strings with like a mallet or, mm-hmm. you know, some, it just makes this great sound. And I read an article where he talked about this, this Joseph guy, Bashira. He would find rusty pianos, put a mic in there, hold the pedal down and hit the string. So you kind of hear that or like rub keys on the string. So I thought mm-hmm. there was like an imaginative use of the music. I really like this guy's music in a lot of these movies. Mm-hmm. You know? So
yeah, I read a little bit about him after seeing Insidious, finding out that he was the same, that composer was mm-hmm. the actor. And I read about how the movie, it was a completely like improvised soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like he just told the people what to do. And it was like a little string quartet and him on piano.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and he
yeah.
just like said, no, just, you know, make some noise here and do this and make these sounds and
stab the strings. Yeah. You know, somewhat. So I appreciated the music. I thought it was pretty, you know, it's not as composed as like, you know, Exorcist, but very effective. Mm-hmm. Very effective. Did you ever vandalize a piano?
I don't think so.
Not to the point that it was going to be damaged, but just for the...
Leave me, like, put razor blades between the keys?
Like that guy that just got arrested for fucking
when auditions are coming up?
No, but I remember... Any euphemism? I remember a friend of ours putting an empty inside the, under the hood of the piano.
No way.
We just blew hits in under the hood.
Yeah, it made it sound better.
Yeah,
sure.
Funky.
Yeah, playing slower, that's all. Oh, dear.
I really like the overall, like the movie... there are things I didn't really... There, I mean, thinking back, the Manson thing seemed kind of silly, and I'd kind of forgotten about the doll where she's hitting it on the... That was pretty cool mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
What I really liked about the movie, and speaking of the trailers, giving away so much of the jump scares in the trailers.
Yeah.
But I liked the fact that they didn't ever... I don't think they ever showed the demon...
No.
...in the trailer. It was a little confusing that there's a demon, but then there's also like a ghost of the young Annabelle and the ghost of the dead Annabelle. The crazy Annabelle.
Right.
And you can see all the... Like who... Like what... Who's what... What's going on here? There's too many ghosts and spirits going on. But what I really liked was this black... devil that they would show, and I appreciated that not being in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
when that thing shows up. And the other thing I liked about it is that it's so dark in the scenes where he is that you're not sure you're really seeing him or not,
right? Like in the basement,
in the basement, but also going up the stairs when she goes up the stairs and she turns around and it kind of comes up the stairs and is crouched on the stairs.
Yeah.
You can barely make it out.
Right.
And I was like, oh, is he, you know, is she even seeing that?
It's almost like it's carved out of something too. I mean, it's just like, it's really smooth looking. It's just,
but the way it looks so many times, it's almost like the way that you might hallucinate something. Like your eyes might play tricks on you, and mm-hmm. what's just the light in the hallway, dark hallway, and mm-hmm. something on the wall might, your brain might make a new image of it into looking like a, like when you're a kid, you know.
Yeah.
I had a poster when I was a kid of a Husker football play, and whenever I was in bed with the lights off, the crowd, the fuzzy, like looked like the scariest crazy face I'd ever seen. And I finally had to just like have my mom take it off the wall because my mind made it into something. And so that was like what I was thinking in that scene where she's like, is she actually seeing this demon
mm-hmm.
or is she just so scared that she's imagining it? The thing dropping off the ceiling, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
The half face that was hearkening to Insidious, I thought was pretty cool.
I wish they would have, in the elevator, the basement elevator scene, when it wouldn't take her up and the doors kept closing.
Yeah, I kept waiting for it to show up there.
I wish it would have gotten closer and closer.
There's some tension.
No, God, and the right last minute she's up on this, it starts going up. I would have been
cool.
That would have just peed my pants.
Another thing that we noticed that was odd in the movie is they talk about hearing the people upstairs.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then
when she jumps out of the window, it's the top floor.
What was that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know it's the top floor?
Are you sure it's the top floor?
How do you know?
Yeah, because it's like when they look up at the building.
Yeah,
you can see that's like the open window. Jesus, was like the top window.
Well, that's interesting. Then.
And then, but look at the.
Implied that it's ghostly, or is it just a continuity mistake?
I think it was a continuity mistake, possibly, because if you look in the elevator, she was hitting six
for the six three floor. times.
Yeah.
Which wasn't
666, yeah.
So we don't know what the deal was with that. Huh. And again, they're up there, and but it was, they pointed it out too about the, oh, now she's going to go do this, and now she, like, as if there was, and then the kids never come back into play. I was kind of irritated that they didn't, were those real kids? Were they not?
Yeah, the ones drawing the art
of
her getting hit by the, or the,
well, yeah. The, then you realize that that may have been the demon later.
That was very Children of the Corn, I thought, when I saw that scene. I'm like, this is kind of like the kids that can see, you know, that the Outlanders are coming. You remember that? And they draw the pictures of them in their little station wagon. Yeah.
But yeah, that was an odd thing. And I wish, hopefully, maybe they'll post something in Goose. We'll find that on IMDb. Or something like that, where that was like a
I wonder how much is implied, and how much, like I said earlier, I just wonder how much was just like rushed, because they, Conjuring came out last summer, and this movie's already out in theaters and about done with its run. So I don't know when it went into production, but they had to put a script together, pre-production, get shit cast, put together, and they I think maybe they had good people involved. Technically, but it just seems like it was unrealized in a lot of ways, you know.
I'd like to see it again, though. I would have to say that now, you know, after talking about it this much, I would go back and see it again just to, like Doug's had that experience where you went back, like with Tusk, you know, you look at it differently when you watch it the second time.
Because you know how it ends.
Right.
So you can see those things that, like, that you didn't notice
for
the first time.
You don't
notice it the first time because you weren't looking for it, and then like the second time you watch it, you're like, there it is! Look right there. You know
what's neat about the
like
show?
Like the crack in the eye. Like,
yeah,
we'll
exactly.
Well, what's neat about the show is that the four of us will pick out something different. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then I'll watch something again. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what Wayne was talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, smart. Zip, he's on it.
Yeah.
One other thing I want
Doug,
to point out
that
about
guy's full of shit. Why did he like this?
Doug's really cool.
Did he like this so much? Oh, thank you.
There's one last thing I want to mention about the movie, and it's not related to really horror movies or the genre or the making of the movie, but I'm waiting for somebody to make a point. To point out the fact that at the end of the movie, the African American woman takes the fall for the white family.
Yeah,
takes the doll and jumps out the window with it.
What God wants for her.
That gives up her soul so that the white lady can have her baby.
Oh,
the boring white people.
Yeah.
Well, it was the 60s.
It was the 60s, right.
Yeah.
It's a different time.
Jesus.
But when I saw, there was a little bit of me saw that, and I was like, someone's gonna have a problem with that. That was my thing, I'm saying. It's like, someone's gonna see that, and at some point
it's gonna end up in one of the scary movie, like, 8.
Right.
They all look at her like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, hell no, I ain't jumping onto one of your goddamn white cracker, baby.
Exactly.
That shit. But you know what? There's people. I looked at Insidious 2 message boards and whatnot, and there are people in some communities that are pissed that the guy was a cross-dresser.
Wait. Oh, really?
You know how he dressed because his mom. No, you're whatever his name is. What was his name? Yeah. The boy's name. And he's like, no, and she hit him. And your name is this. And he had to put on a wig, and then he dressed up as the Black Bride. And that, you know, there are some message boards out there, and you can find them on the internet if you want to do that in the middle of the night. But
they're there during the day too, Brian.
They might be better at night. I don't know.
Right, but there's a lot of people that are mad that it's another cross dresser. Thanks a lot, Simon. Of the lambs.
Oh God!
You know,
it's another My Little. It's another furry. Thanks a lot. The hockey goalies are all pissed.
Yeah,
we thought this was over
back in the 80s.
Well, man, William Shatner's pissed about the Halloween mask made out of, you know.
Really, I'd be honored. I'd be so fucking honored. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Damn. Man, stop playing with me, guys.
Oh my God!
Very good.
Alright, so that's Annabelle. Let us know what you think by writing us on the show page, or you can send us something at necronomicast@gmail.com. You can listen to this podcast, of course, at necronomicast.net, even though sometimes they still leave the old outro for the show. It says .com. Somebody stole our .com, so we're waiting to get that back.
What's at it?
It's nothing now. It's
.com. It's squatted.
So pay us money if you want this.
So you can get it back. So
squatter.
Necronomicast.net.
Oh, we'll find them.
Let's get them.
It's time of season, so we'll talk about some more stuff There's a lot of things that you can watch now. Of course, on Netflix, they have a lot of new horrors on there. And, of course, in the iTunes, Apple iTunes library, you can find all the trailers to all the upcoming horror films, which I'm disappointed. They don't have a ton.
Well, Christmas season's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess we're done.
We're done. Yeah, horror's done.
They gave us the Ouija board.
Yeah,
the,
oh, that's right.
Coming up, and that's it.
That would be interesting. I'd go see that.
Oh, I'll go see it.
I thought looked like a pant load.
Oh, I think it's going to be a pant load.
But. You know, what, so like a good kind of pant load? Like a real good...
Every movie, every horror cliche is in that trailer.
Yeah. That's what I thought. There were some cute girls.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's a good cliche.
Pant load. Oh, wrong kind of pant load.
Frontal load.
That was a front load.
One cool thing about Annabelle, you know, we've kind of picked it apart a little bit, but it was a rated R horror movie that killed at the box office.
Yeah,
man. It killed. Mm-hmm. So I mean, don't think Hollywood's gonna.
And no boobies in it, right?
No, but yeah. Hollywood will sniff around and they won't feel bad about putting out an R rated horror film.
Sure.
You know, so that's good. That's good.
Yeah, and the other good thing about the Halloween season, you can see all these great movies on like regular television. So if you really want to be very bored, watch the Friday the 13th series on television.
Oh.
It's so sad.
Oh,
no, no,
nothing happens in it.
Nothing at all.
As if what the MPAA did to those movies when they had the theatrical run was right. Bad enough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, thank you, AMC, for introducing it to a new generation of horror fan, but good God, they cut the good stuff out.
They cut everything out. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's almost like a sitcom now. So it makes me, whenever those movies come on, I just like to actually turn them off and then go find the movie and watch it at the same time without the commercials.
That's what I did the other night when you were talking about.
I'd be sitting here anyway.
Part two being on, and I was like, oh, I can't get the channel that you're seeing it on, and it won't be good anyway. So I hunted around, and I think I watched that, you know, the real deal.
Something else.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's Annabelle. I guess...
Are we talking about anything else? You want to talk about horns, or what are we?
Oh, that's right, horns.
You told me about horns, and you thought...
Yeah, I was going to have Lori also get in on this, because she read the book.
Oh,
she just finished the book and
we'll
then
tease it. What is Horns? What is
Horns? Okay, well, Horns is a book written by Joe Hill, who is actually the pseudonym for Stephen King's son. He's writing horror. In fact, Joe Hill didn't reveal his heritage for a while until after he got published because he really wanted to separate himself from his father. Didn't want to have those expectations. You know how the whole thing goes.
God.
But he wrote this book. I think Heart Shaped Box, and then he wrote Horns, I believe. And
I thought Kurt Cobain wrote Heart Shaped Box.
Yeah, right.
That's a song. That's
sorry.
You stupid motherfucker.
It's based on that song.
Right.
Ow!
Put the machete down.
It stings.
So, yeah, he wrote this book, and now it's a movie. And I do have to say that the movie was probably better treated than any of Stephen King's horror film translations from book to screen. But, this one stars Daniel Radcliffe as the main character who wakes up to find out that his girlfriend has been murdered, he's been pinned for the murder, and now he's growing some horns.
Pretty
no
cool.
idea. Now, you think this is going to be, like, weird. Like, how is it? But actually, he's growing the horns, and they're growing exponentially, like, growing pretty quickly. The movie... And we're going to talk about this because she's read the book, so we have to get her down here to compare the movie to the book. She said the movie was really, they did change a few things, but not bad. And the movie, I thought, was a great story. It's really a murder mystery, it's a horror film. There is some blood in there, but it's a great murder mystery. I there was a few things that I had no idea that I was like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. Oh, I didn't see that coming either. And wow, what a great idea for a story. I mean, in a sense, what's great is that his horns, basically, he's becoming this demon, and the effect of the horns, the reason why people aren't weirded out is because every time he sees somebody and they look at him with the horns, they basically come up with the most evil, all the evil inside stuff that they would never say out loud or do kind of manifests.
Wow.
So, you know, every person that he meets immediately just says... starts to just get the, you know, what the worst in people would say. So this little kid, he's in the doctor's office and the little kid's screaming and you know, and he's trying to get this appointment and the lady just looks at him and all of a sudden she says, you know, I really wish somebody would smack the shit out of that fucking kid.
I like this movie.
In fact, I'm going to tell her, hey, lady, shut your fucking kid up or get her out, you know, that kind of thing. So, and he's freaking out. He's like, what the fuck is going on with everybody? And, you know, the doctor just all of a sudden just like, it's weird because when I turn away, I forget you have the horns. And I come back and there they are. Wow. You want to crush up some OxyContin and snort a few lines? I really want to fuck my nurse. As a matter of fact, is that
it's and Harry Potter in it too?
Yeah, no, exactly. With the regular accent too, which is kind of interesting. So,
oh,
yes,
not a British accent.
Horns. And where did you find this? Was this on demand?
This was on demand. One of those early ones. It was like $10 to rent on demand.
Oh, okay. I thought it was out in the theater or something.
It's coming out. I think it's actually out. It's either out now or it's coming out in November. Oh, so we had like an early screening just because it was on there.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
From the mind of Stephen King's kid.
Yeah.
Good for him, man.
But apparently, Little King. I would have to.
Little King. Yeah,
like Little King. In Little Omaha, King. There's yeah, a the sandwich Omaha shop called Little King. Fucking good. No
oh
chains.
My God. Yeah, but see it when it comes out. Because you can see that. I don't want to give any more away until you guys see it, because I really want your opinions on this, because it is it's a thriller. It's a thriller. It's a great story. It's a murder mystery. And it's got Daniel Radcliffe, and he does look pretty fucked up at the end. It's like full on growing these things. So it's, and it's
Daniel
great story,
Radcliffe's
so.
Starting to get in some horror movies. He did the whole Lady in Black, and there's Lady in Black 2.
Oh,
is he in that? And he's done this. I think he's he's made
done lots
plenty
of
bank.
Broadway stuff.
And you know what? He's a good actor.
Yeah.
You know, he was Harry Potter, but you know what? He's got chops. So good for him.
He was
man.
Good as Harry Potter. Rats. I know that.
He's got chops, man. The kid's got chops.
So you guys got anything else?
I watched on Netflix real quick Twitch of the Death Nerve. It's from 1972. It's an Italian horror film. And it's also called Bay of Blood if you guys look for it streaming or if you get the disc. And just real quick, there's for a movie in the 70s, tons of gore, like really good gore. 13 kills.
Ooh.
We usually give spoilers away, but I'm not going to give the spoiler away on this movie because the last 30 seconds of the movie are fucked.
Really?
Really? They are. And for me to say that, it's something else.
Good.
The reason I bring this up because I'm Mr. Friday the 13th. I watch these Friday the 13th retrospectives, and Sean Cunningham and these guys come out in Friday the 13th Part 2, we have these two murder scenes, and people say they're stolen from Twitch of the Death Nerve, but we've never seen this movie. Bull crap.
Really?
Because they're shot-for-shot recreations of these two murder scenes in Twitch of the Death Nerve. And so I watched it, and I'm like, well, just own it. Just own it, you guys. I mean, you guys made plenty of money. You filmed it your way. Which is very cool. These guys came up with it. They filmed it in their small little budget Italian film their way. Just own it. But Twitch of the Death Nerve, very cool, very bloody, gory.
What's the other
body
name?
Count. Bay of Blood.
Okay.
When I typed into the Roku Twitch of the Death Nerve, Bay of Blood came up, and so then I did the cross reference to make sure that it was, in fact, the movie that I wanted to see, and very cool. So I would recommend that if you guys stream anything through your Netflix, just watch it. It's an hour and 20 minutes long. It's got crazy body count for a 70s movie.
Yeah.
You know, usually like 5-6 people might get killed. 13 in
That's
this
a lot.
One.
That's more than a lot of Friday 13th, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. And they steal two of the kills. But it's really good. And the ending, oh my God, I watched it and I was like, I immediately rewound the last 5 minutes. I had to watch it again. I was just like, really? That happened? Great.
It speaks highly.
That's great. And I won't give it away because it's worth it, because I don't think anybody out there has seen it. So.
No.
Thank you.
I've never twitched the death nerve.
Recently, I attended the Screaming the Dark Film Festival. One of the guys that was putting it on was Tim Welsh, who was the original co-host of the Necronomicast.
Dr. Death.
Yes, Dr. Death. Got to meet Sonia Thompson. She's been on the show a couple of times. She's from The Walking Dead. She's been a featured zombie on that and all their promo materials. It was good to see Sonia again. It's been a while. And then also, for the first time, I got to meet Aline Dietz, who was the face of the Pazuzu demon in The Exorcist, the white face.
Wow.
And I learned later, after I just rewatched The Exorcist and
I don't really remember
went through
that
Yeah, it's kind of those subliminal things that like pops. Yeah, flashes that come in.
Yeah, you see a lot, like when he's walking into the kitchen, there's a shot of it there. Yeah. There's a shot when he's walking up the subway steps, shot of it there. Yeah,
but also, she did a few things. She doubled a few times for Linda Blair in it, mainly a couple scenes of the spitting of the...
like stunt work?
Yeah, like she did she was the face that actually spit the split pea soup onto when that happened. They rigged up this thing in her mouth, and you can kind of tell the difference. Real quick, it just shows on the face, and poof, so they did the makeup on her. She's been in a bunch of... she appeared in Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Well, who's she playing then? Does it say?
Doesn't on what I'm reading right now, no. She was in Creepshow 3. She was in Planet of the Apes.
There's a Creepshow 3.
Wow.
She's been
Tim Burton one?
No, this original television series.
Whoa.
So, yeah. But she... There's a lot. If you go into the behind-the-scenes stuff on The Exorcist, you'll see a lot of... entries that talk about what Eileen Dietz did on that movie, and it's pretty cool. But she was super nice, you know. She was right here in Omaha. Yeah, it was really, really fun to see her on that. So, and they had a successful film festival. So, congratulations to all the Scream in the Dark Film Festival guys. They were a sponsor of the Necronomicast for this past time when they were putting this all on, and we were happy to be helping them out with that, what little we did by just having them on our show page and talking about them. But yeah,
beautiful.
Was the guy from Troll 2 there like you thought it might be?
I don't think it was. Yeah, that was the other thing.
Was it a rumor? Or was it
true? No. I think it was just one of the films that they did. I will have to find out from him.
I'm gonna watch that before the season is over.
Oh, yeah.
Again. Yeah,
we got to do Troll 2, and yeah. I was hoping he was. I was really, really wanting to see him.
Yeah, it's good
there.
Time.
I saw some other photos of him with the photographer that does those. Oh gosh, what's his name? But it didn't have him down here. I'm looking at the guest list here, and it was Aileen Dietz, Sonia Thompson, Robert Mukes, Leslie Donaldson. Was a guest, was in there, but she's been on the show too. But the and then directors, so it really, I don't think he was there. I just don't think he was. So
boo.
Yeah, I would love to meet that dude.
Daniel Harris wasn't there either, was
Daniel
she?
Harris is not. Yeah, that is going to be the crowning day of my show.
We need to have her
of my life
here,
when I get
down here
get
in the chamber. Next
yeah,
to
we
the
do.
Yeah, we got a cage right up in the corner. We can put her in there.
Oh yeah, the little cage. I don't think this is not helping our case.
Feed her crackers.
Weird. This is not helping the case.
Easy, Doug.
Yeah.
Easy.
If she's listening right now, we're totally fucked.
She's not listening.
The comfy chair. That's what you got to say.
She can sit in my chair. I'll sit in the cage.
She'll get the nice mic, Wayne's mic.
Yeah. See. Give her the red mic. Oh.
We got so many things we can give her.
Before we go, I do want to say thank you. We had a fan. Anybody know this person?
Ronnie.
Ronnie Scott? You
know, yeah.
No.
Do you guys know him?
No.
Not at all, but thank you, Ronnie.
Yeah, yeah. Ronnie, on our Facebook page, he left a message, and he left us this great redone logo and banner for our show. Yeah. And so big thanks and shout out to our listener, Ronnie, for doing that. That was really cool. You can go find that on our Facebook page and actually now on our website here at Necronomicast.net. Just look up there. Everything you see up there is what he created for us. And
you guys need to check out. Have you seen what he's done for some Star Wars DVD covers? I don't know. He seems like he's some kind of a graphic artist that has a lot of clients, but he makes some good stuff, man. So for him to reach out to us and make that for us, I mean, that's really special, and we really thank you for that.
Yeah, we totally appreciate that. And if he's got a website, we'll post it up there too on our show page.
You bet.
Whatnot.
Thank you, Ronnie.
So, all right. Well, until next time, that's been the Necronomicast. My name is Wayne.
Zip.
Brian.
D-Bola. Stay healthy, everyone. Wash your hands.
Oh, my God.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes, blogs, merchandise, and other information, go to our show page at necronomicast.net. And don't forget to find us on Facebook so we can be social all up in ya.